This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, thank you guys for coming out. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you for being here. Our folks at the bar, and things are getting busier here at Buffalo's Cafe in Cumming, Mike. It's been a fun day, man.
Man, we rolled in. We actually had people waiting for us, which always makes us feel good. So whether we're in East Ridge, Tennessee, or Cumming, Georgia, Carl, the big antenna of Dukes and Bell, we do appreciate the best listeners in town who really do love the vibe. And a lot of passion about the Braves today, a lot of passion about what the heck's going on with the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. You know, where are we going with this? A lot of uncertainty. And just real quick, I know we're going to talk Hawks later in the hour. A couple of guys at the bar just now were saying, want to believe in the Hawks, and you see an effort like that. So all this stirring in the Bula base that is our show today.
No doubt. I was just looking, and I apologize. I did laugh. I'm not even going to lie to you about this guy who went down last night at the Hawks game and had to be taken out on a stretcher. Now,
you saw that video.
Well, listen, I would never laugh at someone injuring themselves. Now, a lot of people thought this was an April Fool's joke.
Right.
Because it was April Fool's yesterday.
Get him a body bag, Johnny.
But, you know, he goes to shoot a layup, slips, and then grabs his knee, and you're like, come on, man, stop playing. And then all of a sudden, you realize this guy is really injured. And I see
he's flailing like a salmon.
Oh, and then They take him out on a stretcher, and I'm left. Does anybody know who this brother is? Anybody know who this dude was?
Now, it's not as bad as the guy that was like, remember, like, was he like an Air Force officer?
Oh, yeah.
Who couldn't make a layup? That was a couple years ago.
That's right.
Video that went viral. And it was like, this guy's never played a pickup game in his life. But, see, I got to be honest. When I saw the video, I thought, as they say in wrestling, I thought it was like a work.
I did, too.
I thought it was like a fake.
Well, when the way he grabs his knee and you're like, oh, that looked a little fake with the slip. But apparently he went out on a stretcher. Either way, it's making, you know, it's rounds.
It's gone viral.
Yeah, and people are checking it out and going, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Speaking of the NBA, before we get to Falcons, real quick, this just in from Shams, Mike. 76ers star Joel Embiid will undergo arthroscopic surgery on his left knee next week. Remember, he was shut down.
So much for the process.
Embiid was ruled out for the season in late February, and 76ers met with team doctors to determine the best possible way to alleviate the pain. He's had this pain in his knee, went to the Olympics. Remember, wins the gold with the men, but
right.
Didn't play as much as we thought he might, and a lot of people said he probably shouldn't have done that. Then he comes back, starts the NBA season, and never really helped the Sixers this year.
This goes back to, you know, when you hear about, you always say, people, they hear it. They hear the criticism. And there was a lot of folks that were saying, and can you imagine what a pressure cooker Philadelphia is to say, Embiid, get your butt out there. And he did, and now it's exacerbated the situation. We could argue that Bogey was banged up from the Olympics experience too. He's no longer with the Hawks, but a lot of wear and tear. People don't want to hear about it, but it's a real thing. Speaking of wear and tear, Arthur Blank's been through the mill this last, 6 months? Whether or not, initially, I always felt, you and I debated this, I always felt Arthur Blank said, I never want to be in quarterback hell. Get me two quarterbacks. And then later on, D-Led came on the show, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, said, nah. He goes, Coach Ra had a relationship with Kirk Cousins from his days back then called the Redskins. And then, honestly, wholeheartedly, our general manager, Terry Fano, just really believed in Michael Penix. And so that's how we got to double the whammy on quarterback. But then we get to this knucklehead situation with Kirk Cousins, which got Arthur Blank on the phone with him and later on talking to Steve Weiss.
He spent an hour. We learned that yesterday with Kirk Cousins. When's the last time you've been on the phone with anybody for an hour? You don't get to answer that. You text a lot, don't you?
Is it your mind?
There's a kid in the audience here. How old are you, by the way? You're texting. You're not on the phone.
He's very tall.
I cannot even lie to you. I've not been on the phone with family members for an hour.
All right,
okay.
Time out.
I'm just saying. That's a long time.
I'm not trying to cast aspersions. You and I both have some high maintenance relatives.
It's a long time.
I won't. 5 minutes tops. An hour? What can you say to Kirk Cousins? If I was Arthur Blank, I'd say to you, so Kirk, were you lying in the fall or were you lying at the Super Bowl? You big liar? I'm Arthur Blank and you're a big fat liar.
Either way, he gave him the time. Our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network, and we're going to get Steve on the show here, but he caught up with Arthur yesterday, and I just want you to hear a little bit of this. This is in regards to Cousins, okay? So Steve Weiss, NFL Network, sitting down with our owner, Arthur Blank. This is what he asked him.
All right, Mr. Blank, of course, when it comes to your team, the topic is your backup quarterback, Kirk Cousins. And I know you and he spoke about that conversation. What was conveyed in that conversation that relates to his future with the Falcons?
Well, we spoke for about an hour. He asked to chat with me, and I said, of course. And I told Kirk, started the conversation, I said, look, I'm here to really listen. I took literally five pages of notes. I made some comments back to him, shared some thoughts that I had from a franchise standpoint. It could not have been a more cordial and more respectful conversation. I heard everything you said. I understand everything you said. And he also understood where we were as a team and as a franchise. But I think it created, clarity about what he hoped for and what his views were and what happened and why it happened, et cetera. And so I think we're in a good place, and he ends up being our backup quarterback. We have the best in the National Football League, which is always a good thing. If we end up making a different decision, we'll move on. I just want to reinforce this. He could not be more of a gentleman. I mean, 14th year going into the NFL this coming year, 6-6 with the Commanders, and then with Vikings, and 1 year with us. But I mean, he's got a great heart, a great spirit. He bleeds the NFL. He's great with teammates, great with fans, very spiritual guy, great family guy. And so I mean, we'll both end up doing the right things for the right reasons, and we'll be fine.
At any point in that conversation, did he express that he did not want to be with the Falcons?
Well, I think he made it clear that, in his best interest would be to have an opportunity to, test free agency, and I understood why. But he also understands that we have a contract, and we've paid him a great deal of money. He understands that. Because he's really smart and economically and football-wise, certainly. So he understood our position as well. It was a very, very cordial, good listening conversation. I did most of the listening. He did some. And we ended up, being in a good place, I think. And we'll see.
So that tells you exactly what Mike and I have been saying. Kirk likes to talk a lot.
Could Kirk, right, you and I have had some great conversations with Arthur Blank over the years. Is Kirk the only person who can actually have a conversation with Arthur Blank and talk more than Arthur Blank?
Well, that's hard to do. And when Arthur says, I listened a lot, that tells you everything you need to know. He's probably just on the phone.
And remember Arthur, the story that came out yesterday, I think it was D-Led, said that Arthur had 5 pages of notes. Did Arthur have a stenographer for this conversation?
Kirk, say that again. A little
bit
louder.
Hold on, Kirk. My stenographer didn't catch that.
Come on.
I mean, I got to be honest. If I could show you the hand gestures of the folks at the bar right now, it would be an X-rated show. But no, it's just I think that Arthur's being more than diplomatic here and kind of bending over more than backwards. Kirk, you pretended to be healthy when you weren't, then said you weren't healthy to try to bolster your position around the league at the Super Bowl. So Arthur's doing him a lot nicer than I would if I was the owner of the Falcons.
Yeah, look, there is – I do think, Mike, there's a respect level. You got to keep it above board, right? You just do.
You want to get him off the – and you want him to sign off on a trade.
You're trying to handle this the best way you possibly can. But I agree. Like, Arthur Blank don't owe him that. Dude, I cut you a $100 million check. I don't owe you an hour on the phone just because you're feeling some kind of way.
Right.
But he's doing business like Arthur always does it, the right way.
Above board.
Yes.
But I would say that, you know, could you imagine, just for argument's sake, maybe a Jim Irsay on the phone? Be a little bit different conversation. You know, be a very shorter conversation. Probably. I would imagine a little more volume.
Yeah.
You know, but or Mara, or who knows. And Arthur being diplomatic, because unfortunately, as Arthur did say all the right things, Arthur has no leverage. Kirk Cousins has all the leverage in this argument, in this situation. And that's hard to get your head around, but that's the fact.
Hey, guys, coming up, Braves lineup is out. Switching things up a little bit. Are we, Snit? We're going to tell you what it looks like. Bryce Elder's on the hill tonight. And
we bringing back Obergefell?
Listen, we might need to bring back some other folks if this thing keeps going the way it is right now. Braves are winless. Mike and I are going to talk about it coming up here. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe, by the way. Thanks to everybody that's come out here hanging out. By the way, it's your dad. What's your name? What? Craig?
Craig.
That's your dad?
Yes.
And that's?
That's Grandpa.
Oh, awesome.
3 generations of Dukes and Bell listeners.
That's
Grandpa's
awesome.
A big listener.
I told you they were rich out here in Cumming, Mike.
Grandpa is
money's
loaded.
Money's just flowing out
you
here.
You tell Grandpa you don't care about your grades. You're going to Georgia, son.
He's already got that money put away. Hey, but we're out here having a good time, man. We will talk more about the Braves, though. And also at 5:40, our conversation with a very good insider. We like having him on the show, Mike. And, you know, we started the show today talking to him about the Braves because in the offseason, before the season started, before we were 0-7, we had conversations with him, and he would say, hey, you guys have nothing to worry about. Things are going to be great. Rob Bradford stopped by, Odyssey MLB insider. You'll hear what he has to say at 5:40.
The question for Carl is, when do these torpedo bats get to the Braves? Because at this point, we might need cruise missile bats.
Let's hope they work. Hey, when we come back, what's up with the lineup tonight? What's up with that? It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, saying hello and goodbye to some of our listeners. Thank you for coming, man. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Just talking to this wonderful family here, Mike, the generations.
3 generations of Dukes and Bell listeners.
And Grady is his name. I had his name. I said Craig. I was like, eh. So I went over and started talking to him.
Right.
And
he looks like he could be one of the Manning family.
He does. Grady, his father, and then obviously Grandpa, they're all hanging out. He said they went to the game last night.
Grady. I didn't say that.
It sounds like you.
Not you. It's the other Grady.
But they went to the Hawks game last night, and I said, were you guys there when the guy slipped?
Right.
And everybody saw this, and he said, yeah. And so they were talking about, you know, was it real? And to our point.
Was it staged?
But thank you guys, man. And Grady's a basketball player. He said it was a tough season, Mike. Said they went 8-0. Or, wow. Excuse me, 0-8. 0-8.
Sounds like my high school.
0-8. And I said, you lost every game? And he's like, yeah, but I hit some threes.
So I was going to say, Grady, I was a point guard with no handle and no shot. So I was complete.
So, yeah, man, thank you for coming out. He's on spring break, I think it is.
Yep.
They're on break. Hey, man, let's talk about what's going on with the Braves. Real quick, I do want to let you guys know, lineup looks a little different. Now,
you got to shake it up.
Well, listen, everybody's like, snit, snit, snit. And I want you to address this because I know you started the show talking about it. Ozzie's going to lead off tonight. We know that was Profar before the incident.
Right.
Then it was Money Harris. Okay. And I'm not saying Money's not going to lead off, but Albies, Ozuna, Riley Olson.
Right.
Then you go De La Cruz, Nick Allen, Stuart Fairchild's in right field tonight. Chadwick Trump's behind the plate, Mike. And then Eli White is in center field. You talk about shaking it up.
Man, it's not exactly the A-team rolling over there. All righty then. Now, we knew that
would you stop it?
Going up against the Padres and the Dodgers was going to be tough. And I would like
to see
how – now, the good news is we got a real gamer on the mound, Bryce Elder, who's going to bring some of that 92-mile-an-hour stuff into Chavez Ravine, and let's hope for the best. Look, I had high hopes for Bryce Elder just talking to one of the guys at the bar earlier.
You don't trust him?
No. No. Bryce Elder, again, shall I do it again for you? Fulte, Newcomb, Tukey. I mean, we could go down the list. Now, the latest would be, obviously, unfortunately, Ian Anderson. We just don't develop young pitchers.
How much confidence do you have in Elder? This much?
Zero.
This much?
None. None. Less than, put your fingers really together.
This much?
Now, rub them together. See if you make a flame. None.
This
Nada.
Much?
Nada. Zip. No, let's hope that Bryce. Now, you could argue what could possibly go wrong because we got Blake Snell going up against Bryce Elder, and we're rolling a team that you would probably have seen as a split squad when half the team went to Fort Myers and the rest stayed in Northport.
That's true.
But this is what we're going with. So, guys, you asked the question. I'll just make it brief. I saw this on social media. Follow us, as always, guys, at Dukes and Bell 929. Carl's put them up. See, Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. There's a lot of things going wrong with this team. You cannot blame Brian Snicker. Brian Snicker went through, what, 35, 40 different lineups last year?
At least.
At least. I'm being conservative. Every season, Brian Snicker starts the season with 3/5 of a starting rotation. That's beyond his control. He's doing what every old school manager does, from Dusty Baker, you know, take your pick, to Adam, you know, to Boone, you name it. Guys are going to maybe try to shake things up. But you cannot blame him for this start. These guys aren't hitting. They didn't hit down the stretch last year. You could argue it's almost a continuation of much of last season. So this is where we're at. We banked on Oakland A's players. We bet on Matt Olson. And I'm not just picking on Olson, but also, unfortunately, with Murph, we just gave up a lot of our farm system, and unfortunately, we're struggling right now. And this gets Braves fans, Carl, saying, man, I wish you had given Freddie that 6-year. Because when things start going south, you look for an anchor or a North Star, a leader, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And I don't know who that guy is. You and I have asked this question a million times. Money Harris couldn't give us an answer on that. This is when you need somebody to be the rallying guy. Guys, you know, whatever. We're going to go out tonight. We're going to do whatever. Somebody, hey, couldn't get any worse, right, guys? Who steps in the middle of that clubhouse and breaks the ice?
Well, it could get worse. It might before we come back home on Friday. But when you say we're last in every offensive category, yeah, let that resonate.
Right.
Last in every offensive category, batting average, OPS, which is slugging, and on base combined. We're not scoring runs. We don't get on base. We leave runners stranded. We don't score runners in scoring position. We are 1-for-34 with runners in scoring position. For those of you who don't understand that, guy is on base. I got to get him home. We can't do it. So, Mike, when you're putting up these kind of offensive numbers, you're just not going to win a lot of games.
No, man. And as we said, now, a lot of folks, and I would agree, no one's going to write this article. No one's going to say this on ESPN because it might require a degree of thought. What if the Red Sox, or take your favorite team, what if, you know, whoever you feel is a big baller, what if the Dodgers started in San Diego, or San Diego started with the Dodgers to start the season? We basically got the two best teams right now, the two hottest teams in baseball,
yes,
who have not lost. So I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, when we get home, now, if we lose a couple of games to the Marlins, now you're in a hole where you start saying, can we even win?
Did you go fire somebody?
Well, and it's funny you mention that, because Phil just hit me up on Twitter, and he goes, Mike, he goes, sometimes you got to stir things up to generate
fire
a better performance.
Fire sale.
Yeah, when Bobby Cox was not maximizing the best team in baseball for 10 years.
You're gonna bang on Bobby?
I would have changed Bobby. I would have moved. But here's the thing.
You're going to bang on Bobby?
Bobby Cox had 10 times the talent that Brian Snitker has to work with.
No, I agree with that.
Bobby Cox had 3 Cy Young Award winners.
I agree.
This guy's got bums.
You're going to bang on Bobby?
But Bobby Cox was, you know what? Snitker is a better manager than Bobby Cox, and I'll die on that friggin' hill. Yes, Bobby Cox blew it so much when the big money was on the line.
You're banging on Bobby.
Yes, Bobby Cox, I would have fired him 7 years into the run because you had the best pitching.
You know, people love Bobby.
I know, he's the sacred cow in this town because Braves fans go, can't do that, but now you want to fire Snitker?
You're banging on Bobby.
Bobby Cox never had a hat. If Bobby Cox had this, they'd be 0-15 to start the season.
You know what? It's a hard argument for me to say you're wrong on this one. It is.
No, I mean –
it is.
You can't look.
Listen, Snit has done more with less.
2021? That's one of the most sublime managing jobs. You and I have talked about this a million times.
And then think about the guys AA went out and got that we were like,
who?
What's he going to go get Jock Peterson for? Right. Like, seriously.
Right. How many?
I agree with you.
How many Braves fans had to look up who Jorge Soler was?
Right.
Was Rosario healthy at the time?
No.
These guys, and then, but it wasn't just that these guys got clutch. It's how Snicker managed it. Look, I get it. If the best manager with the best team, and you got this argument going earlier in the show, Tony La Russa would have 8 World Series. But you got to be clutch. We're not clutch. And you got to draft clutch, you got to develop clutch, and sometimes you got to pay for clutch. And we don't have it.
Well, look, the clutchest dude, and we now know this because he left here and was an MVP, a World Series MVP last year, was Freddie Freeman.
Yep.
Don't care what you thought about him. Don't care whether he cried when he came back for 3 days and we all laughed and said, this is nuts. He was the clutchest dude in that clubhouse. And he leaves here, goes to a better team that's more loaded with players, and is the MVP of the World Series. I don't have to say anything else about Freddie Freeman. So that guy is gone, and right now you're struggling to find. And by the way, sometimes talent overwhelms, Mike.
Right.
If Ronald Acuna was completely healthy, He might be doing things, getting on base, stealing bases,
right,
scoring, getting you going, but he's not out there.
No, and this also gets back to, you know, can Ozzie, who's the guy that picks him up? It's hard to quantify when we talk about the leadership thing.
Ozzie leading off tonight. He's going to get him going.
Please. My favorite, Brave. I love, come on, little guy. Get it going. The other thing is, and getting back to the snicker argument, and this is about Alex Anthopoulos, because Alex is also getting heat from our audience. We had a heated discussion earlier. I will leave it at this. Braves, we spend more money than we have, but we're still not spending enough compared to what the rest of the elite teams are doing. And we're making money with the battery. They just put some money into some real estate right on I-75 and I-285.
The other side.
The other side of the interstate. Pennant Park. So I'm glad that they added up some real estate over on Interstate North and Interstate North Parkway, I guess north of the Weather Channel, to maybe make that parking lots. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I'd like to see you next time spend that money on some starting pitching. Okay? And so you don't wait for Jurickson and Profar to be available for fish heads and rice. You go get the best available left fielder. You go get a guy like Willy Adames to upgrade your shortstop. And just put all the chips, you know, at least, Carl, put all the chips in the table. And then if the players don't perform, you can say, then Terry McGurk can say, hey, we gave you top three payroll. It just didn't pan out. We can't do that every year. We're not the Dodgers or Mets. And I can accept that. But they never do that.
You answer me. 404-726-0929. You guys hit us up and let us know what you think.
Carl and Mike, mom and dad had a fight earlier, and it's like the record skipped. Like, we had that argument a couple of years ago about Ritter, and you're like, who said they're going to win 10 games? I'm like, you said they were going to win 11 games.
Who?
You said it.
I wanted to know what national pundit said it.
Carl Dukes is a national pundit, and
oh,
you said that.
Never mind. Let's not have that discussion.
But anyway, we went round and round, and the bar was like, holy crap, these guys are going to swing. And then we high-five, and we dap it up, and it's like, no. What's missing in America is what we have on Dukes and Bell, Carl. We can debate things and still be friends.
Yes. You can find that discussion, guys, online at our Twitter feed and also at 99game.com on the Odyssey Rewind page.
I'm glad you said that, Orin. Just promote the heck out of that, will you? All right? Just promote it. Let people know where people can find us screaming at each other. You know why we're screaming at each other, though? Seriously.
Because we want to see this team get it together.
That's it. We want to win. And we are just like you. We're going, what's going on? Last night, Mike, it was hard to watch.
No.
I'm serious. Like, and I'm not saying that I don't want to support the team. You guys know we watch all this stuff, but like, I'm watching this offense and I'm going, why can't we hit? It's too early in the season for this to be happening.
Now, real quick, before we cut your break, because we're going to talk to our good buddy Rob Bradford from up in Beantown, Faye hits us up on Twitter. She goes, Carl and Mike, since Eric Young and Ron Washington left, the Braves have not been the same. She goes, talking about, because in the words of Mike Bell, I'm going to die on that hill.
Yeah.
But energy, the kind of vibe you set in the club.
Look,
talk about what the job the coaches do, which no one understands.
I'll take you behind the curtain for those of you who don't know, okay? EY, great friend of mine. Ron Washington, know him well. And when they made the decision to go to the Angels, right, great decision for Ron, who got another shot. I asked them about this when they left, and they were assured that there would be guys that would step up. The problem is, what they did, Mike, and I'm just going to tell you guys, and this is going back when they were here. They were the guys to completely have the pulse of the locker room and know who was feeling good, who wasn't, whose wife was fussing at them, whose girlfriend was mad, whose kid was sick. And guess what? They lifted guys up and they put them in a situation where it was positive, and Mike, that was contagious. And then the way Ron Washington worked with guys day in and day out, this goes back to Dansby, you can talk about all these guys, Ozzie. There was a connection. I cannot say I know who's doing that now.
Right.
But that's what I know those guys did. And that's not what I heard. I'm telling you firsthand.
But you covered baseball, and you've been in more clubhouses than I have. That's a dynamic that's important to the success of any club.
It is. Because you know what? It's more than just grab your bat and let's go hit.
Right.
How you feeling today? Freddie, what's going on with you?
Right.
How's your kids? You have to know what guys are feeling.
And keeping them loose.
Keeping them loose, Mike. And that was the difference. And I'm not going to disagree. Is it Faye?
Thank you, Faye.
All right. We're going to talk to our guy. Ask him about the Braves coming up here. We've had great discussions with him.
Yeah, buddy, Rob Bradford.
A lot of times about the Braves. But we also asked him about the Dodgers and these torpedo bats. Stay right there. Rob Bradford, Odyssey MLB Insiders next. Let's talk some more baseball because we're trying to figure out what's going on with our team right now. It's funny. We had on this guy. He does a terrific job on his podcast. Baseball isn't boring. He's an Odyssey MLB insider, Rob Bradford. And all offseason, Rob was like, look, you guys will be good. You're going to be good.
All is well.
You're going to be good.
You guys are sweating the small stuff.
And Rob, we're not good. We're not any good right now. What is going on?
I was just thinking that. First of all, it's always a pleasure to be on with you guys. And I was just thinking that. I think every single time I come on, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. Like, you're good. Don't worry about it. You're one of the better teams. I will say this now. I have reached the point with the Atlanta Braves where I am officially worried. Yes, I cannot come on. And I would love to be screaming from the mountaintops, hey, there's nothing to see. They'll be okay. It's only six games. It's okay. But what you factor in the injuries, the suspension, the way that they're playing, all of it. I will say this, though, and you know, I want to take a heat off. This is one of my pet peeves. When the hitting goes bad or the pitching goes bad, everyone's like, fire the hitting coach, fire the pitching coach. Tim Hyers, I'll get out ahead of this one. Tim Hyers is a very good hitting coach. Tim Hyers has won a couple World Series
yep.
in the last seven years. And this is not his fault. This is not his fault. So let me get out ahead of that anyway.
Well, just to give a perspective, seeing as you are from Boston, and again, our buddy Rob Bradford, host of Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, I said to Carl last segment, apparently the last time we started this bad, FDR was president. Uh-oh. We were in Boston. It was the Boston Braves. So, yes, the law of averages, Rob says, the baseball card, you will get to that point at some point this season. But they didn't really give the pitching staff – I always think we don't pay for pitching. And now with the loss of Ronaldo Lopez, even when we start hitting, we're kind of down to relying on young players from the minors.
Yeah, and first of all, I what you really should have done is called my dad, who was a Boston Braves fan growing up.
Wow.
So he could have given you a first-hand account of what you're going through right now. But you know, I think that – you know, listen, with the Braves, this is the conversation I think we had in spring training in the offseason, which is, hey, yeah, they didn't make a ton of moves, but they're getting guys back, and they have these guys. There's a reason why these guys were being applauded for giving these extensions, because they're star players. They're players that every team wants. If you get them back healthy, you're going to be okay. But the problem is that now you aren't getting them back. You aren't getting guys back healthy. You're losing guys. One of the guys you went out and got, you're not going to have in Pro Far. And you didn't add the fail-safe guys in the offseason. So this is where it's coming back to haunt them, where they just sort of said what I had been saying. Just ride it out. It's okay. Well, evidently, you know, you can't do that when it goes this far south. You actually need to invest and get those sort of guys.
Rob, I'm sick of all of this conversation. I'm sick of it. About the Dodgers being the best ever. They're going to be the best ever we've seen, and we'll never see anything ever like it in our lives, and cherish this moment because the Dodgers are
the 27 Yankees? Is that what they are now?
I mean, I get it. They're 7-0. I understand it. But, Rob, come on. Can we temper this a little bit?
Yeah. I would love to say 162-0 just for the say that I predicted it. But, no, there's going to be a time where the Dodgers slump. There's going to be a time where another team catches up. Listen, I mean, the Padres are also right there. The Padres, let's not forget about the Padres. The Padres are the team that almost knocked out the Dodgers. One game away from knocking out the Dodgers last year that the Dodgers were petrified of, and they're still sitting there. You have another team in that division, the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think is a very, very good team. So, yeah, it's early. But, you know, with the Dodgers, it's hard to ignore that we talk about the levels of if this doesn't work, then you have that. If this doesn't work, you have that. The Braves doesn't have that level right now. The Dodgers have like three levels of this, which we've already seen. Mookie, he's not playing, no problem. Oh, you need another closer because the closer pitched last night? Let me give you the other closer. I mean, this is what the Dodgers is. This is why the Dodgers are so good, because they can't have so many guys hurt, injured, not available, and still be one of the better teams.
Talking with our good buddy Rob Bradford, guys, from Boston. He's one of our MLB insiders. All right, let's talk about Rafael Devers. Let's talk about Bregman coming to town, overturning the apple cart. And one of the, I think the Braves are bad. Individually, it's the worst start for anybody in the show.
Yeah, I mean, and I love the people who are saying, you're overreacting with Devers. It's only five games. And well, I'm sorry, it's history. Like, it's history. when you go 0-19 and with 15 strikeouts, and not only are you going 0-19 with 15 strikeouts, you are perceived as one of the best hitters in baseball who is going 0-19 with 15 strikeouts. This is history that we're seeing, and there are so many levels to why we think this is happening, whether it's moving to DH, whether it's not being out of shape, whether it's, you know, adjusting to the new role, whatever it is, what we're seeing right now is history. It's not just a slump. And I'm sorry, I know Alex Cora said this the other day. Well, if this is July, no one's paying attention. Yes, they are paying attention in July because it's historic. So, yeah, I mean, I think I honestly, for a player this level, especially, I've never seen anything like this where a guy is getting up there and just seemingly having no chance at all. It's pretty amazing.
What's up with these bats, Rob? Everybody's Ooh. Making a big deal of it, and rightfully so. I mean, but it's the new hot thing in sports, to be quite honest with you. I mean, this is like, you know, the PGA getting some kind of club that everybody's using, and it's allowing all of these guys to hit the ball, you know, 30, 40 yards further. Well, what's the deal with these torpedo bats?
Yeah, so I just did a couple podcasts. I did one with a couple veteran relievers, Daniel Bard and Adam Ottavino, because I wanted to get their take. And their take, I was just sort of surprised. They're like, hey, listen, you know what? It's the evolution of baseball. We know that equipment in baseball evolves. It's just amazing that it takes something so long to evolve. So I think that they understand that, hey, this is just the next level. But what's amazing to me, guys, is that we didn't really even we didn't talk about it. I didn't even know about these torpedo bats until the Yankees put up a 20 spot on somebody.
Right.
They were using them all spring training. I just asked Ottavino this. I said, when did this first come on your radar? He's like, I saw Lindor using one last year. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's like this is – and Stanton evidently was using one at the end of last year as well. So it's just amazing that we are all of a sudden talking about this. But it's not going away, and what we're going to see is more and more and more. I know that, you know, I'm walking into Camden Yards right now, and I already know that Alex Bregman, for instance, put on his Instagram, here's my new bat. Well, guess what? It's a torpedo bat. And we're going to see more and more and more of it.
Talking baseball, guys, with one of the best guys. Check out his podcast, guys, called Baseball Isn't Boring. Rob Bradford joins us, MLB Insider, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe in Swinging Cumming. All right, man. We talked about, you know, the hitting, the pitching. The problem with the Braves, and there was just a press release that they just bought some more real estate to attach to the battery. It's almost like with private equity and everything else going wrong in pro sports, are teams more about real estate than winning? What is a realistic expectation, I guess? It's a loaded question, Rob. We know that, you know, the Dodgers and Mets are living in a stratosphere the Braves will never get to. But it's almost like you've got a good core. The point I'm getting to is we should be spending more to push over the top. It's now going to be 4 years since we won a World Series.
Yeah, and I think that what owners should understand, and we all know owners have money to spend. It's all depending on what the owners want to spend. They all can afford it. So owners should see that how you win a World Series is usually you pay money. That's how it is. You allocate the money to the best players, the players who are the surest bets. That's how you win World Series. That's how you get into the World Series. That has proven. And every once in a while, you're going to hit on Cleveland Guardians or Tampa Bay Rays or, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, the Texas Rangers, the Arizona Diamondbacks. You're going to hit on one of these teams. The Marlins makes the playoffs. And some people will say, oh, no, look, you don't have to spend money. No. Well, they're here and then they're gone. If you want sustainability, you say you're an owner, you go, you pay the money. And also, by the way, another thing that drives me nuts is that when owners don't see the value of winning a World Series. This is what we should be all about. We get into analytics, we get into bobblehead nights, and we get into all this other stuff, which is great to talk about. Alternative uniforms, City Connect, all of that. But the one thing that we shouldn't lose sight of is that winning a World Series, as you guys know, is really, really, really good for business. And to win a World Series, you got to spend money to make money.
You do. And you can't stay put. And I think part of what we tried to do, and I'm not saying it's the wrong strategy, is, Rob, you know this, we locked up our young core a lot earlier than a lot of teams. And now all of those escalators are coming into play, and now the Braves are like, look, we have more guaranteed money, you know, out there than anybody else because of what we did. and it's not allowed them to go in and invest the way that they necessarily needed to. Rob, it's always good to talk with you, man. Tell the people where they can find your podcast, by the way.
Yeah, just baseball isn't boring. The socials are at BB isn't boring. I really appreciate it. I got a tattoo, baseball isn't boring, on my arm. So I there's no turning back now. So do me a favor, go listen to it so I feel a little better about myself. So there you go.
Total
I appreciate
commitment.
Guys. Thank you.
Total. Good conversation with our buddy, man, who knows his stuff from up in P-Town. And that was kind of funny. The father was a Boston Braves fan. I thought John Fricke was the only Boston Braves fan. We're live, guys, at Buffalo's Cafe here in Cumming. We've had a great show today. We've met so many good people, Carl.
Yes.
And real quick, before we go to break, you and I were joking around earlier. Chris asked the question about what would your dream job be?
That's right.
And I said, continuing doing voiceover work. And I was joking around about how back in the early 2000s, I did work for Cartoon Network for Adult Swim. Well, who walks in the bar? He heard us talking about it. Matt Thompson and his son, the creator of Frisky Dingo and Archer on FX.
That's amazing.
How cool is that, man?
That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
Thank
so,
you guys for coming out, man.
Anyway, but he goes, no, no, no. It wasn't because you played golf. We killed off the character. It was like,
so, okay.
I was
that
filled.
Makes you feel better.
I ran the HR department for that. It's a long story, but we had a great time, and those guys do such great work. Obviously, we're big fans of Turner and all the networks, but good to see Matt.
Yeah, man.
How funny is that?
That is funny. And you know what? That makes you feel better, though, right?
Yes.
You were like, I told him I was going to play at Eastlake.
No, because they called me last minute. They go, we left three messages. I'm like, but it's Eastlake. I thought I irked like the, you know, like the, and you have to understand, Cartoon Network, they've got multiple facilities around Atlanta where they produce this, and needless to say, a lot of the guys in the creative are not going to vibe someone saying they're going to go play golf at the time.
Exactly right. Hey, man, we got more to get to. Interesting folks out here. Thank you guys as well. How old is his son, by the way?
How old is your son?
15?
15.
Oh, all right.
He's in that big growth spurt.
No doubt. He walked in. I was like, man, he's going to be tall. Hey, man, we're coming back. We got more to get to. We'll get you caught up on the latest stories. Also, we're going to visit with Grant McCauley as our conversation about the Braves continues. But what's going on with the Hawks, man? What happened last night? We got a family right here that
losing
said,
hey, faith, man, losing faith.
We went to the game, and, you know, you played so well against Milwaukee, and then not so much last night. We'll fill you in on that as well. It's Dukes and Bell.